Navigation system.
Please say a command.
On. Ignition. Powered. Seatbelts. Fastened. Shift. Drive. Twin Cities sports fans, hold on tight. Live from the TCL broadcast studios, this is The Ride with Royce.
He's going the distance. He's going for speed.
The thing about Row the Boat is I think we're very lucky, we're very honored to be able to have a slogan behind our brand and our image that means way more than football. That even football fans of football can enjoy, and then people who maybe aren't necessarily fans of football can still truly connect with our culture of what Row the Boat means.
I had sources in LeBron James camp literally tell me, and I'm quoting Charles, if Kyrie Irving was in front of LeBron James right now, LeBron James would be tempted, quote, to beat his ass, end quote.
Okay, that was
Stephen A.
The first one was Stephen A. Smith, and the second one was P.J. Fleck, right?
Yes.
Some way like that. Now, Stephen A., that wasn't Stephen A.'s only scoop on Kyrie Irving in the LeBron James situation.
I'm told they are those four teams, and Minnesota is his number one preference.
Minnesota, he wants to come here.
That's right.
He wants to come here. This is quite a quandary for our boys. First of all, you'd have to give him Andrew Wiggins. And I know there's certain people who are all in on that because they don't think Andrew gives it to you every night. I think that's overstated. He gives it to you 60 times, I would say. And, maybe kicks it into neutral 20 times. But it's quite the quandary, to say the least. Chauncey Billups quoted as saying he knew that Kyrie Irving was unhappy. That's one reason he stayed away from that job with Cleveland. One thing he didn't mention is they also apparently offered him $2 million, which is about half the going rate for a general manager in the NBA here. So that might have something to do with it. But Manny.
Yeah.
Why does so much BS surround LeBron? Because he's controlling? Is that it? Is he want to control? I know one thing. He's hypersensitive, right? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, he's shown that
he's
more.
He's extremely hypersensitive.
Very much so, yes.
The best one ever was when Jordan Crawford that dunked over him and he... the kid,
there was a rumor that he supposedly destroyed the evidence.
Kid ducked over him and destroyed the video, yeah, when he was having a camp in Cleveland. But, I mean, there's many examples of this. I think what bothers those of us who have become LeBron fans and recognize his greatness is probably the... damn near 1A with Jordan as the best players ever, is that he always wants to be dealt the four aces. You know, he wants the hand that he wants the full house at all times.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to Miami to get the full house. He came back to Cleveland, got the full house, and now he's upset that Golden State out-hustled him for Kevin Durant. And he doesn't want to go out. He doesn't want to accept the fact that, this might not be the year he makes the NBA Finals. And, I don't blame him for that as a competitor. But you can't spend your whole time whining about the cast around you. And,
when he was the one who put... He was the one who put in the word for J.R. Smith and Iman Shumpert and Tristan Thompson to get the contracts that they have. And so that's why the Cavaliers are the highest paid team in the NBA right now. And even though they're not the best team.
Tens of millions over the cap, right?
Yeah, I mean, Dan Gilbert is paying millions of dollars a year into, the luxury tax. Now, I'm not shedding a tear for Dan Gilbert in this situation either, but...
But here,
so if they're that much money over the cap and are paying a significant amount of luxury tax, how can they take on salary then if they're gonna trade a player?
Well, the only way they can do anything now is like they were able to sign Derrick Rose to the veteran minimum or whatever. Anybody can sign anybody to the veteran minimum.
Okay,
but the Butler deal was I don't know who were they gonna move to make that work if he'd gone to Cleveland.
I I think it was going to be Kevin Love.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I think Love was the guy that
I think the deal was that David Griffin, the now former general manager, mm-hmm. actually had something in place to get mm-hmm. either Jimmy Butler or Paul George, and I don't think Gilbert wanted to pull the trigger on it.
He always wants somebody else. LeBron, he always wants somebody else. Okay, I want this guy. Okay, I got him for you. Yeah, get rid of him and get me another guy, will you?
Yeah.
And I have no idea what Kyrie's personality is, but I would imagine, I don't know if it's he wants to take 30 shots a game and be the man as much as, I just don't want to put up with this BS
anymore. Well, here's the other thing, too. We don't know what the hell LeBron is going to do a year from now. And that might be part of it, too, because LeBron's not committed to the Cavs long term.
No.
So maybe Kyrie's sitting back saying, well, you want me to be committed to this, but I don't even know what the hell you're going to do.
Yeah, well, I heard that analysis yesterday, too, from somebody saying, Kyrie says, okay, I'm going to hang around here, and then you're going to leave me.
Right.
You know damn well he's leaving. Don't you think?
Oh,
if they don't win it, he's leaving.
You think he's going to leave again?
Yes.
Yeah. Really?
Hell yes.
Wouldn't surprise me.
But doesn't that hatred then reignite with the fan base again?
I don't think he cares either.
No.
I don't think he's we went back there. He won a title there. At this point, I think he's perfectly content with going somewhere else.
I know one guy that to me would seem completely incapable of handling LeBron as a teammate, and that's Andrew Wiggins, with that low-key
kind of reserved personality.
Almost, it seems, personality. I don't think that personality
would
work.
Do you think Wiggins wouldn't be able to handle him?
LeBron, or no. LeBron, I think Wiggins would not be able to handle the
I think it could be
abuse,
mutual.
The abuse.
I think LeBron might not be able to handle sort of the passive, laid-back demeanor of Wiggins, too.
Sure.
That might be a bit of a clash,
what,
too.
To me, makes no sense. Would Cleveland, take Wiggins as the guy? Because there's nobody else you can give him.
Here's the other problem for Cleveland. They don't have a general manager.
Well, they just hired the kid that was like the number three guy.
Did they really?
They gave him the title, but he's, just...
So the other question, though, and I'm not trying to get pulled over by the hot take police on the 9-1 show, but I know he's still the greatest player on the planet, but he's 32. I mean, is he going to be able to be this dominant and this good for the next 5 years?
He's probably played more basketball than any 32-year-old in the history of the planet.
Right. There's mm-hmm. a lot of miles on that body.
Think about it. He's been to the NBA Finals every year since 2011.
And played in two Olympics, right?
Yep, two Olympics.
Olympics.
And again, don't get me wrong, he's fantastic, and he's still the best player on the planet. I'm just saying, how much longer is he going to be able to maintain that?
It is amazing, the chaos that league. But, if
it's July 25th.
If I'm the Knicks, I give him Porzingis and take Kyrie.
Ooh, I don't know if I would do that if I were the Knicks.
I do it. But
really?
I do it. You need some sex appeal there, man. This kid, chanting, hey, but you don't know. This kid's not good. You don't know if he's going to be dirt.
I think if you're the Knicks, though, if you can find a way to get Kyrie without having to give up Porzingis, you absolutely do it. Because those two could be really, really good.
But who else they got,
Yeah, that's the
problem.
You're
not going to send, I'm sure fat-ass Carmelo would go over there and play with him. But
well, that's what Mike and Mike were talking about this morning, that maybe you just flip Carmelo.
By the way, best Mike and Mike segment in their history, Stu Gotts, when Stu Gotts is on with Mike and Mike.
Yeah, I love Stu Gotts.
The only time worth, Well, I shouldn't say
7
much,
a.m. I was listening today at 7:30? Stu Gotts is great.
Gotts is great.
Yeah, he is.
The whole Lebertard show is fantastic.
Oh, the Lebertard show is great.
I was driving home the other day, and they were talking about a theme park, like a water theme park in Stu Gotts' hometown. I think it's New Jersey. But basically, it's famous because it kills people. So they were saying, they were giving each one of these rides different names. Oh, my God, it was funny.
Is it in the South?
I think he said New Jersey. I thought it was New Jersey.
Apparently, he was on.
Of course, right.
Apparently, he was on with, was it Van, who's taking over? Who's
It's Tirico.
No.
Oh, who's taking over him? For green shoes?
For green.
Trey Wingo. I'm sorry.
Trey Wingo.
Not Tirico. What am I talking about?
Trey Wingo and him did not get along at all. Stu Gotts and Trey
Wingo. Oh, really?
Wingo.
Oh, really?
Trey Wingo treated him with total disdain, and Levitard had... They disemboweled Trey Wingo for like 45 minutes the other night when I was listening. Levitard was just absolutely leveling him and leveling Stu Gotts.
They have no shame. They will blatantly go after other ESPN. They go after Stephen A. all the time.
Yeah, well,
they rip Stephen A. all the time.
I love being the only show that can get away with abusing other ESPN people.
They beat up on Greeny quite a bit, but it's kind of tongue-in-cheek, you know? It's not for real.
Well, this whole thing
it's not hurtful.
I mean, this thing was hilarious. He's got the best radio show in America, no doubt about it. We'll be back.
And this portion of the Ride with Royce is brought to you by Maurer Chevrolet.
When you look at who we brought, Stephen Richardson, hometown kid. I remember Stephen recruiting him when we were at Western Michigan University. Stephen, the biggest challenge Stephen had was finding a suit that fit. When you see Stephen, he's so wide up top and he's got this little skinny waist. That was one of the major challenges for him coming here.
The Twins last night looked like they might be able to figure out a way to beat the mighty Dodgers.
I thought they were going to hang on.
And then Taylor Rogers hangs that curveball, and Bellinger hits it out to straightaway center. What is that, 27, is it? 27 already?
Oh, it's more than that.
No, it's not more than that.
Really?
I mean,
because Stanton's got 32.
He didn't get called up till May 1st.
Right,
I think it's 27.
Do you know why I thought they were going to win, Patrick?
Why?
Because Buddy and Matt Belisle gave you two scoreless innings.
That's right.
They got to win when that happens.
And I saw a screen grab on that, too. But
28 home runs.
28. That is the greatest head hang I have seen from manager Molitor in his 3 years as manager, right?
Yes.
Because he knew how hard it was going to do to win a game with Bartolo starting against the Dodgers.
Yep.
And he was, what,
he was almost
out,
there.
5 outs from it?
Four outs away.
From it. And Rogers flipped up that bad curveball, and Bellinger hit it straight out to center field.
Yeah, because you're thinking, you get out of 6-4. The eighth, you got your all-star closer who's been pretty good. He's going to come in and close it down.
Why did they use Kinsler Sunday?
I didn't know he pitched.
Oh, he got hammered.
He did.
Didn't he?
Oh, I don't. Right, I guess. Yeah, I checked
the
in
top
and out.
Of the ninth. They pitched him in the top of the ninth, and they were down, what, run one or two? And they ended up giving a bunch of them.
Oh.
See, he has not pitched well in those situations, you know, when it's not to close down a game. But they used him, and he got beat up on Sunday. And then that's a bad loss yesterday. They're now 500. They went, and yesterday they made the trade for Garcia. We were talking about it. And much to my surprise... Imagine my surprise when Kyle Gibson pitched his best game of the season.
Imagine my surprise.
Yeah, imagine my surprise. Kyle Gibson pitches his best game of the season. Edelberto Mejia pitches a game that makes you want to puke because he takes him 40 seconds to throw a pitch, goes four innings, throws 100 pitches, and they
send Gibson down.
You know? As I said, chubby and slow is no way to go through life, because I'm an example
right.
of that.
You know.
I know what it's like to go through life chubby and slow. This guy's fat. He's slow. He waits 14 seconds to get the sign. Drives me nuts. After that game Sunday, get him on a plane and send him to Rochester. And instead, Gibson gets sent down there. And I pray for Mike Quatty, the coach, the manager at Rochester, because Gibby is a little surly here. He's a little surly here.
When he's in the big leagues.
When he's in the big leagues, he's a little hard to get along with for the staff. Can you imagine, after pitching his best game of the year and getting shipped across country, first of all, you get 3 days to get there. I got a hunch.
Oh, he's taking all three.
I got a hunch he's not there this evening. And but poor Quaddy and Stu Clyburn now got to deal with him. He's going to be so grumpy.
Oh, God.
It's going to be unbelievable. But it made no sense.
My guess is Gibson on the plane to Rochester is probably saying, please imagine my surprise.
Yes. And he's also, while he's, I bet he went, stopped in Minnesota and picked up all the luggage he could so the Twins had to pay the luggage charge to go out to Rochester. They tell me that when Kenny goes back and forth,
yep,
he takes so much stuff, it's like $800 luggage charge each way.
Well, there's like clothing and everything.
The kids come with him, and the family comes. They take swing sets and stuff like that. Trampolines.
Do you have to check a swing set when you go through customs?
I don't know what you do, but somebody told me the hidden cost of all of this. When they shuffle, is the luggage charge.
Well, because they're moving,
and these guys, you can't say okay. We only going to watch you for a day, because you want people to show up with enthusiasm, mm-hmm. right? You can't say, Kenny, don't bring all that stuff this time because we're going to send you back in 2 days.
Right.
So Calvin, it is quite a contrast to those of us who covered Calvin, right?
Oh, because it was every nickel and dime.
1 year, Steve Bry broke his hand. I'd have to look it up. 75. Quillacy was still managing, so it must have been 75, I guess. Broken hand, kept him on the active list for a month, said, he can pinch run for you, Frankie.
He's still useful.
Yeah. They pinch run for him because he didn't want to, he was already paying him a major league salary. He didn't want to have to pay another guy a major. Now, this is when they were really hurting financially, the mid-70s.
Sure.
Nobody was going to, my first year on the beat, 74 paid attendance for the season, 610,000.
For the season?
610,000, wow. Yes. I think it was 610.
What was opening? Was opening day, was it that bad, huh?
14, maybe.
Oh, my God.
Wow. I'd have to guess. Maybe it was 690. I think it was 610. And
610 divided by 81.
And, of course, the old-time Twins people say, yeah, it's not a coincidence that happened the first year you were on the beat. See, that was back when spring training actually was used to promote the team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they were 5-21 that year in spring training. Ooh. They were just awful.
So apathy had
they
set in.
They were just awful, and we were writing down there how awful they were. And that team ended up, Frankie, they ended up over 500.
Did they? You know what you did yesterday, by the way?
7,500 people a game.
What was it? Yeah.
610,000. I just did 610 divided by 81.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. Well, in 81... That was the strike, right?
81, yes.
Yeah. They, last year at the Met, they wouldn't have drawn more than, I think they were in the 400s, but the strike kind of screwed it up, but they weren't going to draw 600,000.
They
were going to draw maybe 550, something like that. It was brutal back then. That was, so there was a reason for the horrible attendance. They were. I mean, there was a reason for being cheap because they were
dreadful.
All their income, the Griffiths, was based on baseball. There was no fortune.
Sure,
so they had a good reason to be cheap.
You know what you did, by the way, yesterday on the show?
What?
You motivated. How about your guy Robbie Grossman last night?
What'd he do?
Well, he made the play of the game. Did you see the throw?
I missed it, though.
So, who was it? Was it Seager?
But didn't he take about 2/3 strikes, too?
Well, he might have done that.
Yeah. It was either Seager or Turner. I can't remember who it was.
It was Turner because it was a right-handed batter. Yeah. So he slaps one into right. It ricochets off the sidewall. Robbie gets it, comes up, gunned him out at second.
Okay.
He also, was safe on that replay.
I'm not saying he's a bad player. I'm just saying I'm sick of him. I just don't. Swing the bat! Swing the bat!
You got weird rules.
I swing the bat! It's my rule. Swing the bat. All right, we'll be back.
And this portion of The Ride with Royce is sponsored by Indeed.com. Are you hiring? Join the over 3 million businesses that use Indeed.com for hiring. You can post a job in minutes and manage your candidates from an easy-to-use dashboard. Post your next job on the world's number one job site. That, of course, is Indeed.com.
Nobody's perfect, and poise Okay, those are two things I learned from Jim Tressel. Everybody's a human being. Everybody can be defeated. Here I am, my first year of coaching. You're 5-0, you're 6-0, you're 8-0, you're 10-0, you're 12-0. I'm like, this coaching thing's pretty easy.
We should mention here what would usually be a news segment if most of our staff hadn't decided to bail out.
Right.
When's Height? Any report?
Height's back Thursday.
Height's back Thursday. Had to go to North Dakota for a family birthday, right?
Yes. In fact, what he's been doing is every day about this time, he sends me a photo of the particular beverage that he's enjoying in the 90-degree weather.
That's good. So we should mention the U.S. Senate did vote today to proceed with some version of getting rid of the Affordable Care Act, and they did it with the help of John McCain, who had his $72,000 brain surgery fully covered, then flew to Washington to vote to help repeal the Affordable Care Act. So that's good. The other news that we knew yesterday... Allianz Field, 8:30 this morning, it was announced that the Minnesota United's new field, a soccer field over here in the Midway, scheduled to open in 2019, will become Allianz Field. Now, Allianz supports quite a few soccer stadiums in Europe. They have their name on quite a few soccer fields internationally. But this will be the first one in the U.S. that they have a corporate name on, Allianz Field.
This question came up earlier. Joe seemed to think that Allianz was a local deal.
Oh, it's an international deal. But there's a U.S. There's a U.S.
headquarters.
There's a U.S. version of it, Allianz Life, but it's also international.
Got it. Okay, so it's a certain branch of that.
Germany. It was originated in Germany, but the U.S. headquarters is right out here.
Yeah.
Right across from the Good Day Cafe.
That's right. You know.
So when you're trying to find the Good Day Cafe, you drive right near it. Good folks there, by the way. I met quite a few of them when I was down at the Allianz Golf Tournament. So they have decided to sponsor this. There will be 19,400 seats. It can be expanded if the need arises. 4 hospitality clubs, 22 suites. The farthest seat from the pitch will be just 125 feet, and the closest seat at 17 feet. Stadium will have a low profile at 78 feet tall. So, in other words, kind of built like CHS
Field,
was with the low profile, which I really like. And the stadium will feature natural grass, a heated playing surface, and a standing supporters section of 2,800 with a sharp rake. I don't understand this. A standing supporter section at 2,800 with a sharp rake that creates the most imposing wall of support in MLS. Okay, then. So you can go in there and stand and scream, huh?
Sure.
Okay. Well, that's good for them. Won't open until 2019. One more year at TCF Bank Stadium. They had some goofy story yesterday at where they were going to make a ceiling of 14,000 season tickets or something.
Oh, they were going to cap it?
Yeah, but they didn't get close to that.
I was going
to
say, how many did they sell?
11,000 or something. Mm. I don't know. Maybe to guarantee yourself.
Maybe first dibs on the new park or the new stadium?
Maybe you get first dibs on the new park if you buy a stadium there. But anyway, The Loons will be heading over to St. Paul, the other end of St. Paul. And I was at CHS Field Sunday afternoon, and still hopping over there, man. They had
good crowd.
They had close to 9, and it was great. And that part of downtown was hopping then at 5 o'clock. So it's I never got over to Coney Island, though, to see how they're doing. The Gopher Bar. I had the grandkids with me. I didn't know if
probably was that
I didn't
was
know
probably
if
a
they
smart
should
move.
Be exposed to some of those signs in there now that they can read a little bit.
Right.
But it's I think that the owners there probably were in favor of repealing Obamacare. That would be my guess. So anyway. But very good Coneys.
Absolutely.
Very good Coneys.
Speaking of the Loons quickly, have they deemed this year, has it been a success with the first year as far as like attendance and whatnot?
They will not flatly say it, but I think they expected more.
more people to show up.
I think they expected it to be a little hotter ticket than it is. So, but I don't think they're discouraged. I just don't think it's turned out like they'd hoped yet. So we'll see with the new stadium. That'll help. All right, we'll be back with Britt Robson to analyze what he thinks of the possibility of Kyrie Irving coming to the Timberwolves. Britt Robson writes about the Timberwolves for Min Post, and you might find him in other places too. Britt, you've been following the NBA for a long time. Did you ever imagine this league could become so monstrous that they would dominate summertime news? It's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, what it boils down to is that there is a way now to make super teams, and even if there isn't a way to make super teams, some players are bound and determined to try.
Yes, right.
That's and so it's a tough thing right now because if you're one of the have-nots, you're in trouble. Now the Timberwolves all of a sudden find themselves in the very, very strange position of being one of the potential haves in this circumstance. And of course, we're talking about Kyrie Irving, the point guard for the Cleveland Cavaliers, one of the best ISO offensive players in the game. And he wants to be traded and listed the Timberwolves as one of the four teams he'd be interested in being traded to.
Do you? I don't see how it happens. I mean, it would cost you Wiggins, and obviously you'd rather have Kyrie Irving than Wiggins, but I can't imagine him making this thing fit.
Well, I think that, first of all, to make the salaries kind of match up, Wiggins would get his big bump up salary. But even then, I don't know quite now how it works because it wouldn't be that money this year. So I don't know how that works for Cleveland. But I do see that if you're going to do Jeff Teague instead, you got to wait until December 15th. If you don't do Jeff Teague, then you wind up with
Two point guards.
Kyrie Irving and Jeff Teague, neither one plays defense that well. Both of them are sort of point guards. Neither one passes as well as Rubio, nor defends as well as Rubio, nor is as tall as Rubio. So you'd have a kind of a pint-sized, pretty good offensive backcourt that doesn't have a lot of defense to it. And by the way, you wouldn't have anybody to replace them. There are no other wings on the roster. So it would be this kind of weird situation. The Timberwolves just signed a 6'7" guy, Anthony Brown, to be a two-way player between their parent club and the D-League affiliate. They call it the G-League now. But he's played, 758 minutes in the NBA over the last two seasons. Has a very, very undistinguished resume. And that's kind of, they're going to have to fill out the roster as it is now with some spare parts, some journeymen and some people who may be promising who are kind of minor league guys. So, there's no depth on the team now. And if you take away, a 6'7" swingman in Wiggins and replace him with Kyrie Irving, who's a natural point guard, at least in terms of height and defensive ability to guard people, then you really are kind of hurting in terms of what you have to play with on the wing. So as enticing as it is to think of a big three of Carl Anthony Towns, Jimmy Butler, and Kyrie Irving, you've got almost nothing after that.
Hey, where are you on Wiggins? Boy, there's a lot of people, they don't like the body language. They think he doesn't show up quite a few nights. I like him a lot, but boy, we got a guy on the station here who goes to every game, Corzo. He's crazy. He hates him. So
I'm in between. I actually do think that Wiggins is somebody who something needs to lock in, but when somebody is 22 years old and has averaged more than 20 points in the NBA 2 years running and has done so, at least his first year, everybody was trying to stop him because there was nobody else. They were force feeding him. He's played an enormous amount of minutes. He's had an incredible amount of responsibility. There is no question that he's taken plays off, and that was a reputation that dogged him back in Kansas in college, and you see it occasionally now. But there are also, you can't deny the fact that he shows up in the fourth quarter. He wants to take the big shot. He's somebody who can get his own shot, and that's an extremely valuable commodity in the NBA. His dribble has improved to the point where if he goes off the dribble, you have to respect that he's quick enough, and his leaping ability is such that if he stops and rises, he has an open jump shot. And so if he can improve his three-point accuracy, and now that some other people are around him that are committed to defense, he wasn't a bad defender when he was next to Tajon Prince and Kevin Garnett his second year in the league. Last year was kind of a tire fire on defense all the way around because they didn't have a critical mass of people who knew how to play defense. But if that locks in, I guess what I'm saying is Wiggins has not shown you enough to consider him a future superstar yet, and that was what the rep was coming out of college. But he is also certainly not proven to be a bust. He is not somebody he's somebody right now that a lot of teams would like to have and would give a guaranteed max contract to. He's the guy that has perhaps Cleveland interested in dealing Kyrie Irving. So he is a bona fide talent and with a big ceiling. But right now, he hasn't come close to approaching his potential.
So this would be wonderfully Wolves, though. You bring in Jimmy Butler. You bring in Jeff Teague. You bring in Taj Gibson. You have the greatest offseason you've ever had, even better than when they got Cassell and Sprewell, probably.
Right.
And people will say, yeah, but they could have gotten Kyrie. Why didn't they get Kyrie? They screwed it up. You know, you can do everything. But they have it's very Twins-like. The Twins are in the same situation. They have so much ground to gain, catch up to with their fan base that the cynicism is just off the charts.
Yeah, and also, I mean, let's reality check on Kyrie Irving for a minute. He is a phenomenal one-on-one player. If that's what you want to do, if you want to have Karl Anthony Towns and Jimmy Butler and Jeff Teague stand around with their thumbs in their shorts, then that's a great thing. But he didn't want to play with LeBron James anymore because he wants to be the number one guy, and he's coming to a franchise with a GM's last year named Towns, a guy they'd like to start a franchise with. You got Jimmy Butler, who was a blue-collar lunch bucket guy who has finally ascended to the point where he's an alpha guy and has the coach's loyalty. So you got Towns, who's everybody thinks of him as a potential future Hall of Famer, and you got Jimmy Butler, who's deservedly the coach's pet. I just don't see Kyrie necessarily being able to stroll in, especially since he's not a two-way player, and automatically be anointed the top guy in the franchise, and that's apparently what he wants. Yeah. And if he wants stability, then, you know, it isn't necessarily that either, because in 2 years, everybody's going to have a player option, including Kyrie, and everybody may bail. So, it's just the way the NBA is now. Oh, and by the way, Kyrie is making all these demands with 2 full years left on his contract.
Yeah.
I mean, it isn't like Cleveland has to honor his request. I do think LeBron's ego and, just his autocratic sense of himself, Kyrie probably will be gone. But they don't have to move him.
Britt, isn't it weird, though, with him? Like, we're hearing all these rumors about, LeBron's going to leave Cleveland next year. If Kyrie wants his own team, shouldn't he just stay there and wait for LeBron to leave?
Yeah, well, that's funny, isn't it? I mean, you want to leave a guy who's been in the finals, who's been playing in June 7 straight years. What does that tell you? There are guys, remember Gary Payton, going as a broken-down player to the Lakers in a, feeble quest to get a ring. Charles Barkley never got a ring. Kyrie, if he stuck around and kept his nose clean and basically just see what came out, there's a decent chance that they'd be able to put together another run. It's the way the modern NBA is nowadays. I'm kind of getting too old for it. And we'll just see what happens. But I got to say that if Kyrie Irving is the best player on your team, or if he thinks he's the best player on your team and is allowed to think that way, I don't think you're going to the NBA Finals.
What do you think of the new phony wood paneling on the outside of Target Center? It doesn't do much for me.
Well, you know, I mean, that, it's always been, you know, the kind thing you say about Target Center is it has good bones. But, let's face it, they're old bones, and let's face it that of the four major professional sports teams in this market, the Wolves drew the short straw.
Yes, they did. Hey, Brett, it was great. Thank you, sir.
No problem.
Okay, Brett Robson knows. He's great. He's great talking about the Wolves.
And
man,
he is a great follow on Twitter,
yeah,
too.
He is. He's and he writes very good analytical stuff during the year for MinPost and elsewhere. Brett Robson, you know, he makes a lot of sense on Kyrie. I don't see it happening.
I don't think it's going to happen either.
Because I think, didn't he have a plan? And he was about 80% down the road on the plan.
I think Tom Thibodeau sees a lot in Andrew Wiggins, and I think he wants to see that play out. I don't think he's ready to bail.
But as I told Manny, you know it's going to be the wrong move. Whichever one they make.
Well,
they trade Wiggins, he's turning into LeBron.
Just to see if Corzo actually has a nervous breakdown.
Oh, it'd be great. Wouldn't it?
On the air, just have to have him take, put him in the old straight jacket and haul his ass out of here.
Quiet, please. We'll be on the air.
And now, this day in history. Patrick?
This day in history, Air France Concorde jet was taking off in Paris in 2000. The Concorde, the world's fastest commercial jet, had been around for 31 years, never had a crash. This one was taken off, and it caught some debris, and a tire went flat. And it barely got up in the air and crashed, and the crew of nine and the 96 German tourists died. And even though it had nothing to do, it was just a fireball, boom, 105 people were
basically
dead.
Basically instantly.
It
yeah.
was, even though it had nothing to do with the makeup of the plane, the Concorde only lasted 3 years after that. Mostly from what I'm reading, because the avionics were so dated on it, and it wasn't like you could update them.
Wasn't there speculation it was the fuel pump?
No,
that that's where it sparked.
It was a tire, and it crashed, and it blew
okay.
up. The tire blew, and it went up, and it crashed. And but it could get across the ocean in 3.5 hours, 1,350 miles. And it was a sleek looking thing. I saw it a few times. Remember seeing it? The European Ryder Cup team brought it over, and it was
they
at
did.
Oak Hill, yeah. It was the way to go. The only guy I know who ever actually flew on it was Louis.
Of course.
And Louis, I think he flew the Concorde when he smuggled František Musil out of Czechoslovakia. They went to London and he flew him over here on the Concorde before the commies could catch him and bring him back. So most of those Concordes are now in museums all around the world,
wow.
different museums. It was a sleek-looking plane. It could get you there fast. It was pricey, though. Pricey, from what I understand. We'll be back.